Books of the Bible. John, the beloved disciple, author of the Gospel of John and Revelation, also wrote three epistles. In this first epistle of John, the apostle has one main concern, that we may know if we have eternal life and if our faith is genuine faith. If you want to know that you have eternal life, turn to 1 John and see what he has written for you. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Unheimlichkeit! Wow, I made a bit of a spitty mess. This is Wretched Radio. That's the German language. It's a little hachy. When you talk to a German, make sure you wear eyewear. You're going to have to clean them when you're done, but it's better than being spat in the eye because that's what the German language does. And no word perhaps personifies, is an example of that than Unheimlichkeit. You say, what exactly is an Unheimlichkeit? It literally means in German, weirdness. That's the word, weirdness. But a philosopher, not a Christian, in the 1920s, 30s, that neighborhood, Martin Heidegger, he was a philosopher who took the term and imbued it with his own meaning. It's related to weirdness, but it's more about being detached. That you don't feel a part of specifically reality. And his reason for coining that term was to describe the sense that he believes people have because there is no rhyme or reason to the planet. There is no real reality. So of course you feel detached from reality because there isn't one. How bleak. Now, his response was ridiculous and bleaker still. He basically said, embrace the weirdness, and then you won't feel so detached. I know, illogical. Nevertheless, I believe that that is a word that describes virtually every student on university campuses. They are indeed detached, not because there isn't reality, but because they've been sold a wrong reality. In other words, their professors, the educators, social media, maybe their parents, I'm going to use the word, lied to them that there is no truth. There is no ultimate morality. There is no God. You are the center of the universe. Now, all of those statements are just wrong. So, of course, kids are going to feel Unheimlichkeit because they are not living in the real world. They're living in a world that doesn't exist and it can't go well. And that is why they all feel like their feet are firmly planted in midair. And they know something is wrong. And so it is. Greg Gifford and I are going to be going to two university campuses coming up in a couple of weeks. Another week. It's September. I should know these details. It is September. There it is, 23rd and 24th. Basically, my life is I just go where I'm told. I don't know what's happening in the next hour, and certainly in a week. It's just, okay, do this. Okay. Okay. Just point. Away I go. September 23rd, we're going to be at University of North Georgia. That is a great campus. And it's in the mountains because it's in Dahlonega. It is a really groovy college town. And we're going to be on the campus at the Hoag Auditorium, University of North Georgia. It's at 6:30. Join us. We had something sweet happen at church. Jimmy, you weren't in church this Sunday.
I was not.
Again. I mean, sorry. You are with the Presbyterians in Tennessee.
I was.
Wow. Mm-hmm. You know what? That just has a skit written all over it.
It could have been.
Presbyterians in Tennessee. Well, the covenant.
Yeah, well.
Is the reason that we think that's what a Tennessean who's a Presbyterian.
That's what you think.
And by the way, to all of the volunteer fans, so sorry. For a brief shining moment, you had hope.
Did you text Tom Hammond?
Oh, yeah. Constantly and repeatedly. It was a great game. There were a number of really good games. I caught the end of one. I can't even remember who was. It was the Ravens and Buffalo, maybe. Mm. It was just an amazing comeback. Now, just really fun stuff to watch. So sorry if you're a Vols fan, and even sorrier that you are, that you're forced to wear that orange, if that's what that actually is. So you were with the Presbyterians. How did that go with the Presbyterians?
It went great. It went really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you guys fight over, I don't know, covenantalism, paedobaptism?
No, not
at all.
You all
got along. Kind of Christians are you?
I did tell them, because I preached on deconstruction.
Yeah.
I did tell them I was going to deconstruct them to premillennial dispensationalists.
Sure. And you know what you got?
They took it.
That's kind of a dull laugh with a Southern accent. Real funny. Real funny, boy. So it went well.
It did.
You all got along.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And were you talking about the Charlie Kirk business?
We did.
During the event or outside?
No. Outside the event. Yeah, not during the event.
Yeah, because that would have been, you're doing the teaching and that's what you were there for.
Right.
I understand this is one of those times I believe that it could indeed be something that is addressed from the pulpit. Mm-hmm. Now, the way that I chose to do it was baked into the sermon because I thought a comment on the Charlie Kirk fiasco, there's an insufficient word, that the Charlie Kirk disaster, tragedy, horrific event was a correct application of the sermon about Jesus Christ. But I'll tell you, in Bible study, it was just immediate. Does anybody have any prayer requests? So the Charlie Kirk, everybody was just so upset by it. And Mike wisely said, I think I'll just hold off a little bit on Ephesians 5. I think that is right to do that in church. Jesus should always be the center. He should not be displaced even by a national tragedy. But to not address it, I think Martin Luther had it right. You should be preaching the Bible, but there are times when something is so jarring to a society, whether it's local or national, the pastor does well to preach about it. When I walked into the church on Sunday morning, I had three guys approach me and say, can I help when you go to the campuses? And I knew exactly what they meant. They wanted to play security. Now, I don't know that they meant to encourage me this much, but the fact that three men in our church actually cared for me enough that they were willing to go risk their own lives, that's what church is about, isn't it? One anothering, laying down your life for the other. By the way, isn't that what Ephesians 5 is about? Living for the other, putting others first, esteeming others as better than yourself. And I felt that on Sunday. And it was a sweet thing. It's awful that we have to talk about that. But the reality is we're going to campus. We're not going to be deterred. We're not going to be afraid. Don't forget, Matthew chapter 10, when Jesus sent the disciples to go, this was their first missionary excursion. He repeated these words three times. Fear not. Fear not. Fear not. Because we've got to understand what we witnessed, the Charlie Kirk murder. That's the world we're living in. I wonder, now you do this exercise for yourself. I have to do it for me. Is one of the reasons that I was so jarred by this, it's because I want a peaceful society. We want that, and that's good and right. That's not my point. My point is when that becomes so important to me, and when I see that being disturbed, I feel disturbed. And maybe, it's not that we shouldn't be disturbed by it, but maybe it should awaken us to the reminder that this is indeed a spiritual battle. We're on this planet. There's no question about it. We're really here. But this is all about eternity. This is all about where people will spend forever. Is it going to be in heaven or is it going to be in hell? That is, we're here for the kingdom of his Christ. That's why we're here. So I want to ask my own heart the question, am I so bothered by this? It's because my earthly peace is being shaken. When Jesus warned us, fear not, fear not, fear not, because it's scary and they're going to want to hurt you. That's why he even encouraged them. Bring a self-defense device. Be ready. You might have to defend yourself. He also warned us that family's going to hate one another. People are going to try to kill you. Anyone who lives godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. And Charlie Kirk, I think he brought that into vivid clarity for me. Oh yeah. We're engaged in something bigger. We're engaged in something more profound. And we're engaged indeed in a spiritual battle. And so we're going to engage at the University of North Georgia, Kennesaw State. We're going to try to answer the question for the students, why aren't you happier? Here's the description of it. It's September 23rd and 24th. September 23rd, UNG. September 24th, Kennesaw. Why aren't you happier than you currently are? Even with freedom, friends, and future plans, something still feels off. Why? Join Greg Gifford, Todd Friel, as they reveal three surprising reasons Gen Z is struggling with happiness and how the oldest path in the world just might be the one that leads you back to joy. Whether you're skeptical, spiritual, or just searching, this free event is designed to challenge your assumptions, respect your intelligence, and introduce you to a better way of living. Ready to take your joy back? You might be closer than you think. See you there, because we're going. This is Wretched Radio.
Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Oh, you know the feeling. Every morning you wake up and you wonder, how am I going to navigate this weird, crazy, upside down world with biblical wisdom? We should have that thought every day. And that's exactly why Fortis Institute exists. We're your daily partner in standing firm in biblical truth. From our podcasts with Dr. John Kratz to Pastor Brad Bigney to Libby Glosson, Dr. Adam Tyson, Dr. Greg Gifford, and others, we're bringing together voices you can trust. But this doesn't happen by accident. When you become an ongoing monthly gospel partner, you're not just giving money, you're discipling young men struggling with pornography. You're equipping pastors in small rural churches. You're preaching the gospel to students who desperately need to hear it. And by the way, make sure that you've grabbed the Fortis Plus app. It's free for everybody and it's packed with hundreds of hours of content right now, with more being added daily. Because we believe biblical truth should be accessible to everyone. That's why we need you to help push this to the globe. Our work is nowhere near finished. Visit FortisInstitute.org right now to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel. So we decided to run the gospel through a focus group, and they loved the part about love. Then came the notes. Sin? Well, it sounds a little bit harsh, so they suggested we call it personal brokenness. Hell? Well, that's a big negative. Maybe spiritual separation? Saying Jesus is the only way? Well, that's just intolerant. You have to make him one of many meaningful paths. And the call to repent and believe, that just raises a little bit of friction. How about like and subscribe? We thank them for their time and kept the message. If you're done rounding off the edges, Witness Wednesday here at Wretched Radio will help you share the real gospel, a holy God, real sin, a just wrath, a crucified and risen Savior, and a clear call to repent and believe. And we'll do it kindly, clearly, and without the sales pitch. It's Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio. You can listen to your heart's content at FortisPlus.org. Let's be honest. You've earned your PhD in couch sitting. You know exactly which cushion has the perfect amount of give. You memorize where the remote lands when you toss it. You are a professional. Well, congratulations. Your expertise just became holy ground. Fortis Plus has officially arrived on your TV. That's right. Your sanctuary of relaxation is now an actual sanctuary. Stream biblical truth without moving a muscle, except maybe your thumb on the remote. Every single resource Fortis Plus produces is now available on that beautiful big screen you justified buying because, well, it was on sale, honey. From your phone to now on your Roku, Samsung, LG, Vizio, Apple TV. Basically, if it has a screen and an internet connection, Fortis Plus is there. It's free to download the app. It's free to stream all of our content, funded by gospel partners who believe your couch time should count for eternity. Go ahead, stay seated, but download Fortis Plus first, because your couch just got promoted.
Lexicon. There are many words to help us understand the nature of the Bible. Words like perspicuity, the clarity of Scripture. God uses the text of Scripture to clearly communicate His character and will. God has not hidden His will for only the enlightened few to find. His truth can be clearly understood by anyone who reads his word. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Out of the mouths of emailers. That wasn't easy to say. This is Wretched Radio. A number of folks sending emails just feeling rotten about Charlie Kirk. Just really disturbed by it. And rightly so. Joe sent an email expressing how he was feeling. This being shocked, being sad, crying over this. Grown men crying because of the death of this young man. And he wrote this, and I hope that this will bring you not only comfort, but a reminder of what it is that Jesus has gone to prepare for us. And that you and I, while we look at all of the tragic events of this world, we can look forward to the world to come with excitement. Really, that's one of the lessons from Charlie Kirk's death. We got to remember, this place is not our home. We're headed to a better place. No more sorrow, no more tears, no more assassinations. This is what Joe wrote. Charlie Kirk is with Christ now, and he's happier than any of us can even imagine. That's true. And Mike, Sunday morning, Bible study, as he was leading us, and we were talking about the Charlie Kirk nightmare, said something that I think that we need to use judiciously with a person who has just lost a loved one. I think timing is important, but it is a truism that the individual who is in Christ who died wouldn't want to return. And then I stopped and I thought, okay, wait a second. If that's true for all people, and if that's true for Charlie Kirk, and it is, consider the life of Charlie Kirk. Married, 2 children, massive organization that he was in, massive, persuading a lot of people on social issues. I have no doubt that even his Christian testimony led to the salvation of many. In other words, he was living an amazing life and he wouldn't want it back. That tells you how magnificent it will be when we get to be with our Savior. All things will be made clear. All things will be made right within the kingdom of his might. Lo, all is just and all is right to God, all praise and glory. That's what he's experiencing and that's what you and I have to look forward to. There is talk that there's something stirring out there, that there's something going on where people are indeed expressing some sort of interest in spiritual things. And because they knew that Charlie was a Christian, they want to know about this guy. And don't fool yourself. The response of Christians is a witness. It really is. No violence, praying, sending money, going out into the streets and worshiping God. That's the world should be looking at that and going, okay, tell me about the hope that lies within you. And I think we're seeing that. And I think that there is indeed a stirring. And yet, there is still so much darkness out there. And the question is, how do we overcome the darkness? Is it through persuasive argument? Well, occasionally that works. Is it through logic and reason? On occasion that can work, but it doesn't change anybody's heart and it doesn't change their eternity. Was reading an article that I think is observationally correct. But the question is, how do we accomplish this? Here's the headline from ZeroHedge.com. Good article. To end political violence, the Marxist framework that legitimizes it must be rooted out. I agree. How are you going to do that? How will you do that? And the focus of this particular article is we got to get into the universities and we've got to get these professors to stop teaching that. Okay, how do you do that? How do you do that? Well, I guess you could somehow work toward having professors who that can't be terminated because they have tenure. I guess you could work toward that somehow, or you could change their heart, which changes their mind, which changes the way that they teach. You know, the death of Charlie Kirk actually, I think, is an apologetic for the Christian faith. Why is it that university professors go after Jesus so much? Why is it that assassins take out Christians who are vocal? Why not the other religion? Why don't we, I don't know. Did you have kids that went to college? Maybe even in high school, I know this is going on. In geometry class, they're talking about the problems of Christianity. Why not the problems with Buddhism and Hinduism and Islam? Why not? Because they don't care. Because those religions aren't true. Because those religions are darkness, and darkness doesn't fight against darkness. You know, the whole strong man being bound business? Why fight against somebody who's an ally? Instead, you turn your guns, literally in this instance, toward the true religion, toward the light. And that is why I think that this is another reminder that Charlie Kirk's assassination demonstrates, I don't know that we can say beyond the shadow of a doubt, but I would say it's an apologetic for the veracity of the Christian faith. Why are university professors so bent on teaching kids to not believe what their parents taught them? In geography, what are you doing? And furthermore, who do you people think you are? That you think it is your job to deconstruct the faith that parents have tried to instill in their children? I don't like, well, but if you're in college, you're an adult. I think that's our societally accepted standard. You're in college, you're an adult. Might I encourage you to be brave? The next time your teacher, totally inappropriately, and I think we just saw that story at Texas A&M. Jimmy, I don't know if you reported on that, but they were teaching just very inappropriate stuff, and it was recorded, and they got busted. Hey, we weren't doing anything wrong. Well, some young lady, she spoke up, and she said, I'm sorry. What you're doing is illegal. You are violating the laws of the president, and you are violating my religious convictions. Please stop it. I think some variation of that, I think, should be expressed by Christians in these classes. Excuse me. Unless I'm confused, I thought this said geography class. Could you explain what going after Jesus Christ has to do with the GDP of Peru? Because I didn't pay for that. I paid for geography. I think that type of courage is needed these days because professors are bent on deconstructing our kids. Another reason that we're going to the campuses. Have the courage to speak up, student, knowing that there's a reason they war after Jesus, because he is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the light of the world. And they don't fight after darkness. Back to rooting out Marxism. How do you do that? Well, this article focuses on that young lady from Ukraine who is... I didn't watch that one either. Stabbed in the neck. I did see the picture of her cowering in her chair. The fellow who did it commented to a bystander, I got that white girl. The article, this shows a moral framework in which killing that white girl was normalized, even justified. And Kirk was not targeted because of a weapon. He was targeted because of an idea, the belief that violence against political opponents can be righteous. What is that? That's Marxism. That's the oppressor and the oppressed. And oppressing somebody is the highest crime that anybody can commit. Therefore, you can take justice into your own hands and you are doing a virtuous public good by executing that person. From the Communist Manifesto onward, writes the author Tyler Durden, Marxism has reduced human life to a battle between oppressors and oppressed. Class analysis, caste revolution, as liberation, and political violence as justice. That's how they've been dividing the society. That's how they've been tearing it down to rebuild it up in their utopian imaginations. I just love this. You know, communism, socialism, whichever you want to call it, could you cite an example where that's worked anywhere in the globe? Well, okay, admittedly it hasn't, but they haven't done it right. Oh. So you're going to do it right. Maybe the problem isn't the application, but the philosophy itself. Maybe that's just actually the problem. Back to the article. You can define almost anyone as the oppressor. Classmates, political opponents, and even parents are cast as enemies. Rage becomes virtue. Political violence becomes justice. And that is being actively taught in the schools. And so he's saying, we got to get rid of this worldview. This isn't about weapons. This is about worldviews. The belief that violence can be righteous. Education, quote, must once again teach virtue, to love truth, to hate justice, and to direct courage against genuine threats to the common good. I'm sorry. I might be naive, but I think there's only one way to persuade professors that that is what they should be teaching. And it is if that is what they are actually believing. And the only way that they will believe that, if they are converted to the Lord Jesus Christ and he does a heart transplant, changes their will, their affections, their emotions, and their morality. That is the hope for our nation. That is the only hope that we have to see violence decrease. Violence will decrease either with a heavy hand from government, an external force, or an internal force of a heart transplant. Not only do I know which one I prefer, I know which one the Bible mandates. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.